Welcome to the broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host and partner in crime, Dr. Les Olalot, is away from the studio today on a ministry venture, but we're in the studio today with two guest hosts, and I'm excited to introduce them to you. With me is the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church in Guam, Dr. Marty Heron. Marty, good to have you on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We sure appreciate the opportunity.
Now, you've been out at Harvest for how long?
Well, going on 8 years, as my wife reminds me.
8 years. And your wife, Tammy?
Yes, sir.
Is out there with you, obviously. And
yes.
You're here on kind of a tour, a recruiting tour. Is that right?
Absolutely. About once a year annually, we come stateside to look for folks that are looking to be involved in ministry and presenting the gospel to another culture in the island of Guam. We hire 120 staff each year, so we head to about half a dozen Christian colleges of like faith and practice as we are, and we are thankful that we get opportunities as well to get into local churches just like Brookside.
Mm. Well, we're glad you could be here, not just at Brookside, but with our radio listeners as well. And our other guest today is Dr. Randy Melchert. And Randy, it's a special joy to have you on the broadcast today. You are a businessman here in the area. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you do?
Well, I'm an optometrist here in Brookfield. I've been in practice since 1978. I'm very thankful for my profession, able to help people see things more clearly.
That was pretty good, Randy. Well, you've certainly helped me to see things physically, because you're my optometrist, but you've also been a blessing, and the Lord's used you in my own life. And you're also the chairman of our deacon board at Brookside Baptist Church. And how long have you been the chairman of the board there?
Oh, I don't know exactly. It's been quite a few years. And I'm thankful to be able to serve in that part. We have a wonderful group of men that are trying their best to use good stewardship over the opportunities and the treasures that we value there so dearly in raising and growing Christians.
Well, one of the things that we want to talk a little bit about today is just really the power of the gospel to change a person's life. Paul said that he was eager to preach this gospel, and he was desirous to come to Rome because he believed that the gospel would have fruit there in the life of believers. And one of the things I think that we sometimes forget, because especially those of us, Marty, that are in ministry, you know, we're around the gospel all the time. Mm-hmm. We preach it, we talk about it. And Randy, you know, you sit in meetings with us as pastors, as part of the team of leaders that God has brought to Brookside, and we talk about the gospel a lot. We rejoice in it. We see the fruit of it in people's lives. But sometimes it gets lost in terms of how often we handle it. And every once in a while, it's healthy for us, I think, to step back and just reflect on the personal power of the gospel to change our life. I think about the gospel in my own life and the difference it's made, you know, since I became a believer as a young teenager and then growing in my faith over the last 30 plus years and seeing the Lord do some things in my life. And I thought it would be a good, fun time together with our listeners to talk about the personal impact the gospel has made in our lives. And so maybe one of the things we could do to kind of get the ball rolling a little bit today, Marty, is I know you have a testimony where the gospel made a huge difference in your life and in your family. You grew up in California?
I sure did, Sam. Los Angeles, to be specific. And I
Surfer
thought,
boy?
Well, yes, my youngest son has saw all the pictures, and I'm reliving all of this living on Guam. And I thought that everybody had sunshine year-round, Sam. I thought everybody loved the UCLA Bruins in basketball, and everybody was a Los Angeles Lakers fan. But I come to find out that's not true.
Yeah, Philistines. All those people are Philistines.
And out of all of that as well, thankfully, I had some parents that had got saved early in their life, and so we were raised in a good Christian home and had all the Bible teaching and went to church from a nursery on up and heard the gospel and made a profession of faith. And I state that because I was in a junior church and saw my best friend Brian walk down the aisle at a junior church, which would be like church for kids when the big church was going, and respond to the gospel. And I walked down with him and had a missionary talk with me, and I can remember the place and the time and the sunshine through the window and the curtains blowing, and said some words, and at that point that was my salvation. And it wasn't until later, graduating out of high school, heading to Oregon on a basketball and baseball scholarship, and then leaving that college after 2 years and going into revival ministry and being in a training session for 3 weeks there, that I realized that was a profession. In other words, my experience was a memory, and I was basing my eternal soul on a memory. Mm-hmm. And hearing this guy preach, a guy named Del Faisenfeld, that was a very fiery kind of guy, and your host, Dr. Olalaw, that was a part of that ministry at the time. And I remember sitting under that preaching for about 3 weeks thinking, why is he so mad? Why is he yelling at me? He doesn't have to yell at me. I can think and hear. And yet God began probing my heart and began realizing that I needed possession of who Jesus Christ really was. And at that point was a major turning time where I made the decision, walking out of that service and going to that picnic table in August of 1976 as a 20-year-old young man, and sitting on that picnic table and telling God, I realized that he offered me, as a sinful person, eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. As you mentioned at the very beginning, Sam, that the gospel is mentioned in Romans when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And that is the point in which my life made a radical turn from head knowledge to a heart possession of my soul, and everything changed. My priorities, my values, my interests, my friends could open up the Bible and actually read the Bible and find out it was more than just a book. It was the voice box of God, and God planted into my heart the desire to go into ministry full time. And I think everybody's got a ministry. Paul said a ministry of reconciliation. But for me, it became a vocation, and I'm thankful that over the last now 30 years, we've been able to do that. And that gospel that became so powerful that later I found out that gospel is a simple acrostic for what salvation is, that God offered sinful people eternal life. Mm. And that's what the gospel is, that God offered sinful people, because we were guilty, and I was mm-hmm. guilty, and mm-hmm. I had a sin debt that had to be paid, mm-hmm. and he offered then eternal life. That was the gift.
You know, it's a great way to remember it, and I know some of the folks listening to us, drive to work, and they hear us as they drive, and it's kind of hard to jot down these little pithy sayings that sometimes they hear over the air. Mm. But this is one we can all remember. The gospel is God offering, G-O-S-P, sinful people, eternal life, E-L. That's a great little statement.
Well, it helped me, and it helps me as well now in our opportunities of ministering mm-hmm. there in Guam as our mission field, to giving the gospel, because that is really what the longing of the heart, whether someone is religious like I was growing up in a Baptist church or someone that's never been in a church of any nature, that we say so often, it's not where you go to church. It's where you go when you die, and that's so
right.
important.
You know, I remember as a boy, 13 years of age, coming to Christ. My dad was very instrumental in that process, as was another man in our life that God had brought in. But as I began to grow a little bit in my faith, I didn't grow by leaps and bounds. In fact, I actually went backwards a lot more than I went forwards. But I can remember this statement a lot, and I heard it in different contexts. But really, salvation is one sinner telling another sinner, one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
Amen.
And that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. You know. And so these little statements sometimes that we hear is, in the formative years of our life, really have the effect of really shaping the way we think. Randy, how did you come to know the Lord? What's the story of the gospel's power in your life?
Well, I was a young man, 18 years of age, and I had finished high school, and I was heading off to college in the fall. And my dad had become ill, and he passed away that end of that year, and probably made my heart a little more sensitive to knowing that our life on earth is not forever, even though as a teenager you can think that it will be. And I was working at the Outagamie County Fair in Seymour, Wisconsin. Outagamie covers the city of Appleton, and mm-hmm. just doing general labor there and helping, and was working with the sound system. And after the program that evening in the fairgrounds, one of the singers, they were visiting a group from John Brown University, and they were singing at the fair. And after the program was over, one of them came over and talked to me and just asked point blank, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven or not?
Wow.
And I didn't, and I don't recall anybody ever even asking me that before. And even though we were in a regular religious family, went to church very regularly, they didn't preach salvation. And this person asked me that, and I said, well, no, I don't know that. So they got their Bible out and showed me and said, you know, here's the plan of salvation. Here, word for word, all the different steps to it. And then they said, well, would you like to ask the Lord to save you, to know for sure you're going to heaven? And I said, well, wouldn't anybody?
Wow.
It just seemed so clear and easy to me. So I did, right there in the fairgrounds.
And that began a journey that's been going on now for two decades.
It has, yes, and it's been an incredible blessing. My family still attends the same church, and I have found a new church, a church that preaches the gospel, mm-hmm. a Bible-believing church, mm-hmm. and things did not grow immediately and rapidly and smoothly. Eventually, in optometry school, I joined a Bible study that was a Bible-believing group of young people that were trying to...
They're at the college where you were training?
In the optometry school, yes. Mm. And that helped me and helped me to learn. And then eventually, when I got out of school and opened my practice, then I found a church just by accident there, too, or at least by accident from my viewpoint.
Right. Somebody said there are no accidents with God.
That's right.
God, I mean, it seems to be so accidental and so coincidental from our perspective. You know, Randy, this kind of puts in perspective something that has always impressed me. You have a real burden for the state fair even now, and you've consistently been involved in the state fair and in outreaches, using different venues for outreach in the state fair, and that certainly would come into play with how the gospel really impacted you for the first time at a state fair.
It has, and it's, I even have a coin that was coined from the 1893 World's Fair, celebrating the, it'd be the 400th anniversary of Columbus discovering America. And people, ice cream cones were supposedly invented at the World's Fair that year when they ran out of cups. And it's just fairs, state, local, World's Fairs have just been such a gathering place for people. And anytime you have that many people searching and looking for new things and interesting things, a lot of them are searching for the gospel.
And they may not even know it. I mean, isn't that part of it, that the Lord connects us with people who are searching? And I know you've had experiences like that, Marty.
Absolutely. And what a blessing to hear of a layman as Dr. Melcher, who God's using now, and not just business, because that's his vocation, but what's driving that is his advocation, his real mission that God's called him to do. What a blessing.
Now, I've heard you say that a little bit. There's a vocation and there's an avocation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could take a minute and help our listeners.
You realize that people say, well, I'm not called a full-time ministry. And the reality is we're all called a full-time ministry. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, we have now this ministry of reconciliation. So we all are called to the ministry of reconciliation, to letting others know about the gospel, that God has reconciled mm-hmm. himself to man and man to himself.
Well, I'm so thankful that you both could be on the broadcast today, and it's what a joy to hear the power of the gospel in your own personal lives, and we'll look forward to the next broadcast when we talk together a little bit about how the gospel went beyond your life, through your life, to touch the lives of other people. If you're listening to the broadcast today and it was a blessing to you, we'd encourage you to visit our website, www.thewordforlife.org, where you can download today's broadcast or any of the other broadcasts. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.